This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now. Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Nicole Parton. Ashley Buzzard appeared in the Department 9 of the Santa Barbara County Superior Court in Santa Maria today for her arraignment after her daughter's body was discovered in Utah. Represented by a public defender, Adrian Galvin, Ashley pleaded not guilty and rejected all additional allegations, which elicited a strong reaction from those in the audience, with obvious gasp and crying from the attendees. Galvin also requested a gag order to prevent the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Office from disclosing any evidence or materials that are not publicly available. Judge John McGregor approved the motion and scheduled Ashley's trial for January 7th. Melody's paternal grandmother, Lily Dinas, expressed her deep distress over the situation, but said she will wait patiently for the legal process to unfold. Dinas is also cautioning the public about donating to any GoFundMe campaign, saying the family has not asked for any financial support. Residents of Ashley's Vanderburg Village neighborhood have voiced their confusion and frustration over the not guilty plea and said they were feeling like Ashley was receiving preferred treatment. However, they are relieved that now the mother is behind bars. A man and a woman discovered Melody's body on December 6 while taking pictures in Wayne County, Utah. Santa Barbara County Sheriff Bill Brown said at a Tuesday news conference it was clear that she died from gunshot wounds to the head. Brown said an FBI analysis of DNA confirmed the body was Melody's. He said investigators have uncovered a significant amount of evidence that indicates Buzzard killed her daughter. Detectives searched Buzzard's home, a rental car, and a rented locker storage and found an expended cartridge case and a live round of similar ammunition. Officials said the murder weapon has not been found. The sheriff's office previously said that the mother had not been cooperating during the search for Melody, who was last seen on a security video on October 7. She was wearing a wig at a rental car business where Buzzard picked up a Chevy Malibu. Detectives said they believe Buzzard tried to alter her daughter's appearance with the wig, and she also is known to wear wigs herself. The pair took a three-day road trip from California to Nebraska, with the return trip including the state of Kansas, the sheriff said. Melody was last seen on the return leg of the trip on October 9 near the Utah-Colorado border. Officials say she wasn't with Buzzard when she returned home on October 10.
I'm Jennifer Gould. A 65-year-old grandmother browsing magazines at a Barnes & Noble was slaughtered in cold blood when a homeless drifter allegedly plunged a knife into her back for no reason other than she was, quote, the closest person to him, end quote.
This is a murder first degree premeditated. Apparently an innocent victim was killed as a result of this incident.
Rita Launcherich was peacefully shopping for Christmas presents at the Legacy Avenue bookstore around 7:53 p.m. when 40-year-old Antonio Moore allegedly emerged from a phone charging station to commit an act of pure savagery. In a heart-wrenching twist of fate, the mortally wounded woman managed to call her husband on her cell phone to tell him she had been attacked. The scene inside the Palm Beach Garden shop was a picture of holiday horror. Responding officers found Launcherich unresponsive on the floor, with the weapon still buried in her body, as shocked shoppers looked on. Witnesses heard the woman scream, quote, he stabbed me, end quote, before Moore bolted from the store. Despite being rushed to surgery at St. Mary's Medical Center, the victim died of her wounds at 9:22 p.m. Aaron Johnson lives in the area and spoke to News 12.
I was shocked, to be honest. Like, I've never heard of that before, like, around here especially.
The alleged killer is reportedly a homeless drifter with a disturbing history. Moore had also arrived from Georgia by bus just 1 week prior to the slaying. Records indicate a prior rap sheet in Georgia, including a 2017 arrest for battery and obstruction of law enforcement, alongside a 2018 arrest for simple battery. Moore was apprehended in the nearby woods shortly after the bloodbath. The cold-blooded suspect allegedly confessed to the killing, telling detectives he felt a, quote, internal buildup, end quote, and a fight-or-flight impulse while charging his phone. He admitted he had no prior interaction with the woman he chose to execute and targeted her simply because of her proximity. Moore was charged with first-degree premeditated murder and is being held without bond in the Palm Beach County Jail. Palm Beach Gardens Police Department is asking anyone with information to call them at 561-799-4584. Barnes & Noble said they do not comment on ongoing investigations.
I'm Drew Nelson. A state trooper in Delaware is killed while working an overtime shift at the DMV after stepping into gunfire to protect others. Corporal Grade 1 Matthew T. Snook, better known as Ty, was 34 years old, a 10-year veteran of the Delaware State Police. Snook was shot and killed on Tuesday while assigned to the Karen L. Johnson Division of Motor Vehicles on Hessler Boulevard near Wilmington. Police say a 44-year-old man entered the DMV as a customer shortly after 2 p.m. Investigators say the man approached Snook at the reception desk and opened fire. Snook was hit. Police say he shoved a DMV employee out of harm's way as the shooter fired again. A responding officer confronted the gunman and shot him. The suspect died. Witnesses inside the building described chaos and fear. Vasti Albino Velez returned to the DMV the next day to retrieve her belongings. She told WCAU she was inside with her parents and son when the shooting began.
I look to my left and I see everybody running towards us.
Velez says her family hit the floor. Her mother had recently undergone surgery.
My son and my dad got a hold of my mom. I got a hold of her jacket and we kind of like dragged her out and we limped out of the building.
Velez describes the moments after escaping through a side door.
We leaned up against the brick, tried to stay away from glass, and then we heard more shots. We heard about three or four more shots. And then we heard another two shots, and then it was over.
Snook was rushed to a hospital and pronounced dead. Investigators say several people suffered minor injuries not related to gunfire. Another trooper was also treated and released. Outside Troop 6 in Wilmington, mourners gathered throughout the day. Flowers line the entrance. A squad car sits with its lights flashing in Snook's honor. A shirt left at the scene says, "Heroes need saving too." A close friend of Snook shared a statement with WCAU, quote, "He was the kind of man who lived to protect others. Learning it was him didn't surprise me, but losing my friend is a pain I can't put into words. He was a devoted husband, a new father, and a true hero. He will never be forgotten." Snook is survived by his wife and their one-year-old daughter. Delaware's governor ordered state flags lowered to half-staff in his honor. Authorities have not released the motive for the shooting.
I'm Nicole Parton in Kentucky. A man from Michigan has been arrested after security footage revealed him trying to persuade children at a residence in North Scott County to open the door, falsely claiming that the children's parents were injured outside. Everything caught on the Ring doorbell cam. Anthony Britton, 35, from Southfield, Michigan, faces charges of making false report and second-degree burglary following the incident, as stated by Sheriff Jeremy Nettles. The video shows Britton knocking on the door around 6:45 p.m., telling the children that their parents were hurt and outside lying on the ground.
Come open the door. Come open the door.
We can't answer the door right now, but if you'd like to leave a message, you can do it now.
Your mom and dad are out here hurt. They're laying on the ground right here, I promise you. I was walking through the neighborhood, I promise you. I'm not harming anybody. They are hurt. Hey, sir.
At the time, the children were with a babysitter. No one opened the door. The babysitter reported the man, though she did not fully grasp the extent of his claims initially, according to the sheriff. This evening could have turned out dangerous based on the individual's behavior and his attempts to lure someone outside or at least to open the door, said the sheriff. Authorities reported that Britton had left a nearby recovery center prior to the incident. That same night, he called 911, claiming that people were chasing him in the woods. Deputies responded and transported him to another location, but did not link the two events together at that time. It wasn't until several days later that the parents viewed this video and shared the footage with law enforcement, prompting them to recognize the situation. This led the sheriff's office to identify Britton as the man captured on the camera, realizing officers had picked him up on that night and given him a ride. It's truly alarming to think that this could have transpired. Wonder what could have happened, the sheriff reported. I'm relieved that no one opened the door, that he didn't attempt to force his way in, said Sheriff Nettles. Deputies indicated that Britton appeared to be under the influence of something during the encounter. The sheriff mentioned that Britton expressed remorse, but said he didn't really know why he did it. We can't ascertain what his intentions were that night or what would have happened if they opened the door, said Sheriff Nettles. He emphasized that this case serves as an important reminder for everyone to keep their doors locked at all times. More crime and justice news after this.